So hi everyone, my name is Hiệp Nguyễn. I'm a PhD student from Iowa State University. Today I'm going to present Azure, which is the elastic distributed resource scaling for infrastructure as a service. This is a joint work with Jiming and my advisor, Dr. Helen Gu from Iowa State, with Seto from NetApp, and with Dr. John Wiggers from Google. So we focus on infrastructure as a service cloud, which is known as IaaS. Nowadays, there are many companies provide IaaS system. For example, the Amazon EC2. This system allows the user to list the resources in pay-as-you-go fashion. As the cloud global in scale and complexity, one of the top concerns for the cloud user is how to make sure that the application runs smoothly without any performance problem in the cloud. They also want to have the optimal resource cost. Elasticity is one of the features offered by the cloud providers. So basically, it allows the user to have resource allocation depending on the resource demand. So as you can imagine, when the demand is high, a number of VMs can be added to make sure that the application still works fine. Also, when the demand is low, we can remove the VM to save the resource cost. However, deciding when to add a new VM and how many VM to add is not an easy question because of the dynamic changing application workload. So we design Azure to be efficient and practical resource scaling system by meeting the following goals. First, we want our system to be application agnostic because it's going to be easy to deploy and it can also support a variety of the application. We want Azure to be able to handle the overload well, so it can predict the overload in advance accurately, so to minimize the SLO violation, also to optimize the resource cost. And lastly, we want our tool to be lightweight, so we need to use very little overhead to the application. Before I go into the detail, I would like to go through some related work. So existing approaches generally divided into three categories. The first one is reactive resource scaling, which is very similar to the one being offered by the Amazon EC2. This approach usually triggers a scaling under some certain condition, for example, when the overload happened. However, usually making a new VM will require some time. For example, in Amazon EC2, it typically takes about 2 minutes to make a new VM. So you can imagine during this time, application already overloaded and a lot of violation happened. The second category is shared-driven resource scaling, which is very similar to Azure. However, the existing approaches only focus on short-term prediction, or they need to assume some cyclic workload patterns. The third and the last one is a more model-driven resource scaling. This approach generally requires to have some parameters. They need to tune it offline or for different application and workloads. So here is an overview of Azure system. We monitor the resource usage of the VMs, which belong to the application, and the resource demand prediction will use this information to make the future prediction for the future resource demand of 1 or 2 minutes. We call this a medium-term prediction. And the resource pressure modeling uses this information together with the SLO violation feedback to build a model. So this model can tell us what is the resource level we have to maintain to make sure that the operation works fine. These two information together will be used by the server pool prediction. It tells us how many VM we need to add and when to add, so that it can trigger the server pool manager to add the VM or remove the VM. So before the overload happened, Azure raised an alert in advance and trigger cloning so that it can make a VM ready before the overload really start. And similarly, when the overload stop, we can remove the VM. Because adding a VM requires some time, so we want to have advanced alerts. For the route scaling, because it's very quick, so we can trigger it whenever it happens. The first module of SL is pre-copy lichen learning. So the idea is we want to achieve immediate performance scale-up, and we don't want to store and or maintain the VM snapshot. So SL use pre-copy lichen learning to make a new VM from the existing running VM so that it can leverage the performance as the existing running VM already have. So start from the memory and disk image of the original VM. SL pre-copy the memory first, and then after done with the pre-copy, it will make the disk image of the original VM become read-only and can be shared between the these two VM, and it make a new incremental image for each VM so that it can resume both VMs. So in order to minimize the interference of the pre-copy to the application, we introduce dynamic copy rate configuration. So the idea is we don't have to make a new VM ready before the overload start. So SL adjusts the copy rate that can finish scrolling before the overload start to minimize the interference. So in the figure, you can see if we use constant high copy rate, it can finish cloning very quick, but a lot of interference can be introduced to the application. If we use a low copy rate custom, for example, 40 megabyte per second, we might not be able to finish cloning before the overload start. For SL, it adjusts the copy rate dynamically based on the memory size of the original VM, the time of the cloning, and the dirty rate. So this figure is showing the performance scale-up comparison between SL pre-copy and lichen learning and two other approaches. One is booting from scratch. That means we start the OS and start the application from beginning. The other one is cold cloning. We take a snapshot of running VM and we resume it later. T0 is when we receive a request of the new VM. And here is when the application really start. So you can see there time sometime for booting from scratch is a time for the OS to boot up. For cold cloning is a time for boot up and the configuration. For SL, it is pre-copy time and the configuration time. In the figure, for other scheme, it takes about 2.5 minutes for the application to reach the maximum performance. However, for SL, it only takes 5 seconds. After the application starts. One thing I should mention here is even it takes only 5 seconds for the application to reach the maximum throughput, but it still requires some time for pre-copy and configuration. So that means we have to make prediction of the overload at least 1 minute or 2 minutes in advance. We can use a lot of short-term prediction approach to make medium-term prediction. However, the short-term prediction approach usually suffer from making the prediction iteratively. So we introduce a wavelet-based prediction mechanism. The idea is we decompose the original signal into multiple scale signal. So scale signal is represents for signal at a different scale. Scale one, for example, in this figure, scale one have scale is a wavelet length. Scale one have shorter length, and scale four have longer length. After we decompose the original signal, we make prediction for each scale signal. And finally, we synthesize the prediction of the original signal based on the prediction of each scale signal. There are two key parameters I would like to talk about here. The first one is, so wavelet transform can select a different basis function to make a wavelet transform. As the number of prediction steps at the higher scale is less than the number of prediction steps at lower scale. So we want to maximize in order to reduce the prediction error, we want to maximize or minimize the distance between the approximation signal with the original signal. So that is the first step. The second one is the number of scale. So we choose the number of scale dynamically depending on how long we have to predict in advance. So to make sure that at the approximation signal, we only need to make one prediction step. So you can imagine that if we use a shorter prediction and we apply it to the original signal, we have to make multiple prediction steps, and the prediction accuracy is going to be suffer from that. Here with the wavelet transform, we don't need to make too many prediction steps, so we can achieve much better prediction accuracy. So the next step is we want to answer the question with how many results we have to maintain to make sure that the aberration violation meet the target. The idea is we use the online result pressure modeling. This is a mapping between the result pressure and the SRO violation rate. We during runtime we collect a couple of pairs of the result pressure and SRO violation rate, and we use curve fitting to infer this mapping. So given SRO violation target, we can infer what is the result pressure we have to maintain. For example, in this case, if we have the target of 5%, we have to maintain the result pressure of at least 78%. And this part here. So there are a couple of optimizations we done for the SL. First is post-copy cloning, in which the application of VM can subscribe to some critical event, for example, the network config or stop on and copy phase, so that it can notify the load balancer about the appearance of new VM. As I also have the phone alarm handling mechanism, it keep checking the predicted overload state so that it can cancel the cloning that's triggered by the phone alarm. If we can cancel the cloning in advance before the stop and copy phase, we will not make any interference to the application. Evaluation. So we implemented SL on top of KVM platform, and we modified it to support recopy-like cloning. Our test bed consists of about 10 kernel nodes running CentOS with KVM. We test using the Ruby benchmark, using the real workload traces we can have. Zubit is a web service which is very similar to the ABA website. We also tested SL with Google cluster data by extracting 100 memory traces and 100 CPU traces. Each tray lasts for 29 days. The first result is prediction accuracy for Ruby. You can see in the x-axis is a different traces. The y-axis is a true positive rate. We compare SL with two other schemes, prediction press scheme, which is Markov chain plus fast Fourier transform prediction algorithm, and auto regression scheme. And I mentioned before, because these two schemes are actually shorter prediction scheme, so the prediction accuracy will really suffer when we make a prediction iteratively for the medium term prediction. In contrast, SL doesn't suffer from that, so we can achieve very good true positive rate. Similarly, we can see that the phone positive rate of the SL is very low compared to the other scheme. The Google chase result, we observe a similar chance. This figure showing the percentiles of the percentile value of the prediction accuracy. So as we can see here, it achieved a high true positive rate and no phone positive rate compared to other scheme. Now we want to understand whether SL can handle the overload well. So we run the Ruby's benchmark using the Clocklight workload for 2 hours, and we scale from 1 to 2 servers. We compare SL with no scaling, where no cloning is triggered. Reactive scheme, when it triggers after the overload already happened. Press scheme, use the press prediction algorithm I mentioned before. And fixed vessel scheme use it triggers the cloning when it sees the result pressure exceeds 65%, and similarly for 80%. Reactive scheme, press scheme, and exhaust scheme use a result pressure of 75% to trigger cloning. This is the number we get from the experiment. So you can see the overall SO violation rate and SO violation time of the under SL scheme is significantly lower than other scheme. The fixed threshold 65% can achieve very good result. However, it needs to maintain a lower resource pressure, meaning we need to pay actual resource costs. If we look closer into the response time during cloning, we see that SL trigger cloning because it can make the accurate prediction, so it trigger cloning earlier than other scheme. So the application still working fine and doesn't suffer from violation. Compared to reactive scheme and press scheme, because it trigger cloning too late, so the upload already start and a lot of violation happens. The last result I want to show is the dynamic copy rate configuration. We want to understand whether SL can finish the cloning under different deadlines. So the y-axis, we see the actual cloning time, and the x-axis is the deadline we set. You can see that the cloning time is very close to the deadline we set. That means SL can accurately control the cloning time. So in conclusion, SL is a prediction-driven resource scaling. It uses wavelet transform to make medium-term prediction, and it can it have adaptive copy rate to minimize the interference to application. It's an application agnostic because it doesn't require any application knowledge. So overall, SL can achieve immediate performance scale up with very little overhead. So thank you. If you have any questions, you're welcome.
Experiment,
you
saw
you're
starting out
web service
like
Database Service.
So for Database Service,
Ms.
Database
Service, how to deal with the consistency for Database? Can you elaborate a point,
consistency
between... Because you have to distribute Database. So SL need to make an assumption that the consistency not maintained by SL. So the other thing can subscribe to the SL to know about the event of having a new VM, so it can do a synchronization before the new VM comes in.
The ability has somehow been informed, has to be informed that like, it's more.
Yeah.
Also, when you're scanning out a web server, then why do you need pre-copy? Web server is a stateless.
SL is application agnostic, so it doesn't know anything about what was running inside the VM. So that is our approach.
Do you also need to, for like a multi-tier application, do you need to model the different tiers in some way or detect bottlenecks between tiers? How do you know which tier you need to scale up to improve performance or something like that?
So the question is, which tier, for the multi-tier application, which tier, how do we know which tier we should scale up? So we monitor all the VMs, all the tiers. And for each tier, we have the performance model. So based on the performance model, we know when we have to trigger scaling.
So when you're presenting the prediction accuracy results, mm-hmm. I thought it was a little confusing to use the positive rate and the true positive, false positive rate, because that's more for classification, right?
No, we want to understand. So because we tested under the choice we collected, and we know when the overload happened. So we want to understand whether our scheme, at this point, whether it can predict the overload in advance.
Right, so you are sort of converting the problem into a classification problem, right? And that's how it gets evaluated.
We just want to evaluate whether we can make an accurate prediction.
Prediction in terms of
overload prediction.
Yeah, but not in terms of the exact value of whatever you're
right.
predicting.
Do you have a question? Oh, I have one more question, see if we have time.
Sure.
Say you already have 10 virtual machines now you want to scale to 11. Which one of the 10 you use to clone?
So the question is which one, so in the server pool we have 10 virtual machines.
Yes.
And which one we select as a
to clone.
The clone.
Right.
So we will select, we just randomly select one of them, but I think we can select the one with the least, we need least load.
Right.
So to make sure that.
I should ask my question, guys. The pre-copy also introduces overhead to the version that was wrong. Any more questions? Okay, let me ask you one more time.